We have built our celebrations this year around the carols of Christmas, and the subject of the morning is O Little Town of Bethlehem. I will be reading from the second chapter of Luke first, on page 889 in your Bibles, and then on page 836 from the second chapter of Matthew. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, for there was no place for them in the inn. And then in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Thanks be to God. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. At Christmas, all roads lead to Bethlehem. It is not surprising then that one of our most loved Christmas carols is O Little Town of Bethlehem. This carol was written by the most famous preacher of his generation, Phillips Brooks. It was written when he was just 32 years old, and he was serving as the rector of the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia. The year was 1865, and he'd taken a sabbatical from his duties to his parish to travel a bit, and the centerpiece of those travels was to be in the Holy Land, and in Bethlehem in particular, at Christmas. So on Christmas Eve, 1865, he arrived in Jerusalem, and he decided to ride by horseback from Jerusalem the 6 miles to Bethlehem. And when the sun had gone down, he found himself on the hill that legend states was the hills where the shepherds heard the angelic choir announce the birth of our Savior. And as he sat there in the evening darkness on that place, he was deeply moved by what he experienced. He went on to the Christmas Eve services at the Church of the Holy Nativity in Bethlehem. And just a few hours later, he wrote a letter to the children of his parish back in Philadelphia, telling them of the moving experience that had been his on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem. A few days later, he was beginning to turn in his own mind the words of what he hoped would be a Christmas song that might be sung in his own parish. He did not know, nor did he anticipate at the time, that it would become a famous and much-loved Christmas carol. So at age 32, he wrote the words to O Little Town of Bethlehem. The organist of his church, Mr. Redner, set the words to the music. Actually, Lewis Redner wrote the music to the words that Phillips Brooks had written on Christmas Eve after he had taken a nap. And the song was first sung in December 27, 1868. Apparently, the third verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem, as Phillips Brooks had written it, was never published and has never been sung, to my knowledge. Radner penned the words of this unpublished verse to a friend in a letter, and they go as follows. Where children pure and happy pray to the blessed child, where misery cries out to thee, son of the mother mild, where charity stands watching and faith holds wide the door, the dark night wakes, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more. It seems necessary, since all roads lead to Bethlehem, to raise the question, why Bethlehem? Just a little town 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread, an appropriate place for the one who would be called the bread of life to be born. Bethlehem stands on a gray limestone ridge. The ridge rises to a summit at each end, and there is a kind of saddle, a geographic saddle, a geological saddle between the two summits. William Barclay, experiencing something of the ethos of the geography around Bethlehem, said that it seemed to be set as a village in an amphitheater of hills. A small place, but prominent in history. It was here that Jacob buried his wife Rachel. It was here that Ruth and Boaz courted and were married. But above all, it was the hometown of David, the nation's greatest king. And you will remember that David once, by an evening campfire with his comrade at arms, longed for some water from the well near Bethlehem. And his strong men in arms fought their way through the lines of battle to bring the king some water. It was and is, therefore, the city of David. It was from this city that David's line emanated in the family tree. And it was in that royal lineage that the birth of our Savior would come. The prophet Micah had said it would. Thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler of Israel. Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, a royal line. And when the decree for census and taxes went out from Caesar Augustus, saying that all should return to their home city for registration, it was from Nazareth to Bethlehem, some 70 miles, that Mary and Joseph would travel. It's not all at all surprising, given the history of that place, that all roads lead to Bethlehem at Christmas. It was the place, humanly speaking, where our Lord began his earthly pilgrimage. It is in Bethlehem, says the poet Anne Weems, that we go in search of our kneeling places. In each heart, she writes, lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. When we are Bethlehem bound, we experience our own advent in his. And when we are Bethlehem bound, we can no longer look the other way conveniently, not seeing the stars, not hearing the angels' voices. We can no longer excuse ourselves by busily tending our sheep or our other kingdoms. And she concludes her piece on Bethlehem by writing this Advent, let's all go to Bethlehem and find our kneeling places. If all roads lead to Bethlehem, what I want to do for a few minutes this morning is to build my thoughts around some of those who traveled along that Bethlehem road that first Christmas Eve. And we begin with Mary and Joseph. And they traveled not because they wanted to, but because they had to. And I can assure you that they had to, or they would not have gone. When the fullness of time is approaching, people do not want to travel by any means of transportation, let alone a beast of burden for 70 long miles. It was neither convenient nor desirable for them to travel on the Bethlehem Road that first Christmas Eve. They were traveling not out of desire, but out of demand. They lived in occupied territory. Rome dominated the world. Its armies kept the peace. They ordered a census for counting for military and tax purposes every 14 years. And the census required that every Jewish male go to the city of his fathers to record his name, his occupation, his property, and his family. As one commentator phrased it, Augustus Caesar was ruling, but God was in charge. I can tell you that the focus on Joseph and Mary as they traveled that hard way was on safe arrival. But because it was a hard and challenging moment for them, it reminds all of us that Christmas is a hard and challenging moment for many who experience the season. A young man said to me earlier in the week, I've got to go home for Christmas, but I'd rather be here. But I feel I have to go home. I cannot imagine the pain of not wanting to go home for Christmas. I empathize with those who feel such pain. I have a dear friend of years who said to me, within the last 10 days, pray for me. I hope I can make it through Christmas. Both of their children are gone. One died in service to God and country, an accident on an aircraft carrier's deck. The other son died from a virulent form of cancer before he reached age 40. He said, I'll be glad when Christmas is over. The pain is so great. I can tell you, friends, that while the world is rejoicing, that there are many members of this church, our friends and neighbors that we love and care for, who are having a hard time. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, I will go to Decatur to have a funeral along with David McDonald. It's hard to say goodbye to your mother the Sunday before Christmas. I remember what that feels like. My father died the Sunday before Christmas. I actually had his funeral on Christmas Eve. It's hard at Christmas. There are families who will look out at the family table and there will be a vacant chair Christmas Day. There's a young couple in this church who lost a child within the last month. It's going to be hard. Those who travel the road to Bethlehem will walk a difficult way as Christmas comes. I can go back 35 years and look at the logs of my appointments that I've kept, and I can show you that from the 1st of November until after the 1st of January, traditionally my appointments have quadrupled during that time. People need someone to talk to listen to their pain. And we want to do a lot of that in this church as we travel the road toward Bethlehem. Helen Keller was born deaf and blind, you will remember. She could not see, she could not hear, and locked away in that dark and soundless vacuum. She said one time, the world is filled with trouble this Christmas. And then quickly changed what she had said. And she said, I didn't mean to say that. The world is filled with people trying to overcome troubles and filled with other people trying to help them. And I want that to be true of our church. And I believe that it is true of our church. Yesterday, my two oldest grandchildren and I went to a series of Christmas parties that were being held in places where people hurt. And where without our help and our presence and our caring, there would be nothing at Christmas. To the Atlanta Union Mission we went. Experienced the joy there. To a children's shelter for women and children, we went and had a piece of cake with all of them there. Down to the Fair Haven home at North Avenue, which we support, we went. We are trying to listen and share in the pain of those for whom traveling the road to Bethlehem is hard. There were other people on that road that traveled toward Bethlehem, and they traveled with haste, and we can certainly identify with that, can't we? It was said of the shepherds that they ran to the village. Halford Luckett said that when that statement was recorded in the Gospel of Luke, it represented the biblical foundation for the first Christmas rush, and we've been rushing ever since. And one of the carols puts that to music, and lo, the days are hastening on. We say every Christmas that next year is going to be different. We're going to avoid the rush, but we rarely do. There comes a moment when the rush is on. The wisdom of Solomon says that there is time for everything under heaven, but only if we get our priorities right. Put our time to good use. In the ordinary warping roof of our dailiness here in the city, we pick up all kinds of reminders of the hastening, stressful time that Christmas is. The impatience and the traffic of so many people. I saw a bumper sticker the other day I hadn't seen for years. It was badly faded, but I could make it out. And it read, "The hurrier I go, the behinder I get." I went with our grandchildren after we went to all the parties yesterday. We went shopping. I'll tell you. And they had their money for Christmas. We didn't spend any of that. We spent a lot of mine, you know. And what a wonderful time we had. And we bumped into many of you right out there amongst them. I think probably I ought to get permission to preach in the malls during Christmas. And every one of you said to me, "What are you doing out here? You ought to be working on your sermon." We're in a hurry. That's what I'm getting at. Many on the road to Bethlehem are hastening. We have a place in Buckhead called Harris in a Hurry. It's quick stop shopping. Every time I go by there, I feel like I ought to jog through the place. I am told that because of Harris in a Hurry, there hadn't been a meal cooked in Buckhead in months. And that architects are considering leaving kitchens entirely out of house plans. Harris in a Hurry. The days are hastening on. Don't travel so fast on the road to Bethlehem that you miss it. Rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. And pray, "Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there." And then finally, on the road to Bethlehem, some came and were traveling because they were seekers. Some astrologers from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews?" They were eager to know, moved by curiosity, seeking some meaning from a new and brilliant star that had appeared. Mary and Joseph were there because they had to be. The shepherds were hastening to verify the news. But these men came because they were earnest seekers. And did you know that the most frequent point of entry into the Christian faith is Christmas Eve? God put something in us, some intuition that cries out for a transcendent connection, and we all feel it with poignancy at Christmas. And the doors are wide open for us to embrace the one who came to embrace each one of us. Jacob Niles, the famous folk song authority, was listening to a preacher on a Courthouse Square somewhere in the South when he heard a young girl who happened to be the daughter of the preacher sing a song, a haunting ballad which he had never heard before. And this is what she sang. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, why Jesus our Savior did come forth to die for poor, lonely people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky. The young woman had no idea where she had first heard the song. But John Jacob's Nile took what she had sung and completed it. And it illustrates one of the realities of Christmas. Many of us are seekers. We know what it feels like to wonder and wander. I believe that while we feel like seekers on a journey, that we are in reality being sought by the one who came. For we are told that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. He wants to change us, to transform us. Reach out to the one who's reaching out for you. Ralph Spalding Cushman issues the challenge. Let not our hearts be busy that have no room for thee, but cradles for the living Christ and his nativity. What are we waiting for? The Messiah has come. He seeks after you and me. I've read many times the ballad of Befana by Phyllis McGinley. Perhaps you've seen it. And with this I want to close. Befana, the housewife, scrubbing her window pane, saw three old sages ride down the lane. She saw three gray travelers pass her door, Gaspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. Where journey you, sirs? She asked of them. Balthazar answers, to Bethlehem, for we have news of a marvelous thing. Born in a stable is Christ the King. Born in a stable is Christ the King, said Befana, give him my welcome. Then Gaspar smiled, come with us, mistress, to greet this child. Oh, happily, happily would I fare were my dusting through and I'd polish my stair. Old Melchior leaned across his saddle horn. Then send but a gift to the small newborn. Oh, gladly, gladly I would send him one were the heart stone swept and my weaving done. As soon as ever I've baked my bread, I'll fetch him a pillow for his little head. And a coverlet too, Befana said. When the rooms are aired and the linens are dry, I'll look at the babe. But the three old men rode on by. She worked for a day and a night and a day, then gifts in her hand she took up her way, but she never could find where the Christ child lay. And she still wanders at Christmastide till this very day. Houseless, whose house was all her pride, whose heart was tardy, whose gifts were late, she wanders and knocks at every gate, crying, good people, the bells begin. Put off all your toiling and let love come in. What in God's name are we waiting for? He's come. It's not enough just to listen to the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. We must act on his coming. Will you stand for the benediction? go now in peace. And as you go, remember that by the goodness of God you were born. And remember that in the mercy of Jesus Christ you've been redeemed. And remember that He walks with you every day to comfort, to strengthen, to guide. He promised He would. Lo, I am with you always. And remember, while others have called you servants, He has named you friends. In the strength of that mighty friendship, go forth now to serve in the Master's name till we meet again. Amen.